spend your day worshiping the Lord through his word and through community and through prayer in this time. We're doing things a little different today, and I've already explained it inside to those in the church building, but I want to let you know online that today is going to feel a little different. The orders, we're shaking things up. So I'm going to do a call to worship, and then I'm going to go right into the sermon. After the sermon, we're going to do prayer, and I think we didn't do this in the first service, but I think we're going to do some listening prayer. So there might be some pauses, which may feel uncomfortable online. I'll walk us all through it. And then after the prayer, we're going to open it up for a question and answer that directly goes back to the sermon we listened to today. We're trying this out. If it doesn't go well, if no questions ever come in, we'll probably never do this again, but let's see. We wanted to have more of a conversation, and since we can't do our weekly Bible study gatherings, wanted to give that open. This is kind of a big topic that we're starting as an intro, so I might only be able to get to one or two questions today, but then that helps us as we plan out the rest of the sermon series. So we're going to do that, and at the very end, I'm going to do the announcements and our memory verse. So everything's kind of getting somersaulted, so stick around. It's going to be fun? No, it's going to be insightful, I hope. So our call to worship today comes out of Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait on the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, may the words that you desire for your people at this place, at this time, to hear, may they resonate with us. May we spiritually be open to what you are saying. May we grow both individually and as a community, transformed by your movement in our lives, manifest in a way that is tangible and helps us to grow in your wisdom, so that we are truly people who live, who are learning together to live and love like Jesus with Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. The past few weeks, maybe even longer than that, I have been doing a Bible study. No, it's not a Bible study. We are actually studying this book here, Sacred Rhythms, by Ruth Haley Barton. So it's a Thursday night thing. You are welcome to join in if you have Facebook. It's on my page at 7:30 on Thursdays. And a sacred rhythm, as she describes it, is anything that helps us to open our lives towards God in a way that arranges our lives for spiritual transformation. And we've just finished the chapter on discernment. And it comes at a time when Pastor Thomas ended last Sunday's sermon calling for us, requesting that we pray for wisdom and discernment for our community, our church, in this time of global health crisis, but also our own community. God, what are you doing? So that begs the question, that leads us to the place of what is discernment? And can God really give us wisdom and advice about our daily problems? Can God really show up and talk to us about our situations, be it how to spend our money, what type of job, should I leave my job, should I move, any type of life question, who do I have as friends in my life? All of these things come under this realm of discernment. Does God really intervene and direct even these simple questions? And my answer is yes. I've experienced it in my life. Our community has experienced it in our lives. And here's my first example of this. In 2018, we as a church sent our leadership, that's Pastor Thomas, myself, Susie, and a few members of the board that were available, to a prayer retreat led by two outsiders who do this with many churches. And the purpose of this prayer retreat was to seek God's guidance, God's wisdom, God's discernment about the future of North Grenville Community Church. And the thing that always stood out to me was when we started, the two men said, "This isn't magic. We are not the ones who are going to tell you what God says. We are going to help facilitate your ability to open your lives to hear from God. But God still needs to be the one to show up. you need to make yourselves available. But if God doesn't show up, we're just going to have a nice weekend of staring at each other. We need God to be the one in control. Out of that 23 hours of prayer, we came back to you, our community, with a letter. In fact,
I've taped it down.
It's this letter. We've talked about it more than once. And in this time when we are looking for discernment, when we are requesting you to pray for discernment, I thought it would be appropriate to look at what God has already said to us. And it fits with what Psalm 27:14 says. I hope you see the parallel that when I was reading the psalm this week and our letter, the theme of waiting on God. And there's an action in that, that waiting is to be strong and to take heart, but to wait on God. And there is a lot of reliance of God spoken to in this letter. So this was written through prayer, through listening prayer, by that team of leadership who went on the prayer retreat in September of 2018. Dear children of my community church, whom I love, you have been faithful. When you worship, it causes rejoicing in heaven. You are large in my eyes. It pleases me that you don't chase after glory for your church, but glory and honor for me. You desire to bring honor to my name. You have kept going in the ebb and flow. It is my desire that you grow up in faith and in knowledge and in understanding of me. Hold a high standard in regards for prayer. There are hidden flames. I desire that they burn bright. I know that your desire / want is to be a presence in your community, but that is a result that comes when you humble yourselves and seek my face. Trust me, trust my plan. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. If you grow in this way, I will send you out into the streets to proclaim the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus. To embrace this work that I have for you, you need to experience my way of church. It only needs me. So let my Holy Spirit take up residence in all of you, in all you do. Look only for my approval. Tell, share, and speak. Do not send anyone out who is unprepared and not full of the Holy Spirit. If you do not stop, listen, and be in my presence, you will just be a community service. You will go alone. I am an all-consuming fire. Your fuel will run out. If you follow my instructions, then I will refine you in unprecedented ways. You will be such a blessing, and there will be an outpouring of my Spirit unlike anything you have seen, and it will flow out of you and your church. Let me carry you. My joy and peace will be your strength. There will be life if you follow me. The time is coming when others will look to you for counsel and leadership. Something new is coming. Love, God, your Father, Dad. XOXO. So that was the letter that God gave us through the act of discerning, through the act of prayer, through the act of listening. And what happened at that weekend was we made ourselves available to listen to God. And the question then comes, well, how do we do that in our everyday life? Sure, that was a retreat that was spiritually prepared for listening to God. What about my everyday life? Can I, at home, still hear from God? My answer is going to be yes. But we need some things to happen in our lives. And we're going to look at some of them, but not all of them. Discernment is a big topic. When we've been doing the sacred rhythms as a discussion, we took 3 weeks to just cover the start of the chapter. So I recognize this is more than we can handle in one sermon. So Pastor Thomas and I have talked about it, and some of the notes, I'm going to say, these three things, we're going to be looking at those over the next 3 weeks, but I want to give you the preparation for them. So, before we look at the three beliefs we need to prepare ourselves for discernment or be ready, we have to understand some things about transformation. Spiritual transformation is the idea that God loves us enough to meet us where we're at, and he loves us enough not to let us stay there. That quote comes from Max Licato in his book, Just Like Jesus, which I always think is perfect for our church with our motto that is to live and love like Jesus. And this is the story he tells. Imagine I'm with my infant child. She's a toddler, and we go to a playground. And I set her down, and she's in the sandbox. And while I'm there, I hear the ice cream truck. And I'm like, I love my daughter. She would love ice cream. I want to bless her with a nice, yummy treat. So I go, keeping an eye on my child, get the ice cream, and I come back. And in that time that I was gone, my child has done the very thing children do in sandboxes when they are toddlers. She's put all the dirt in her mouth. She has this nice dirt line, and she's and made some fun mud. Does Max Licato love his child any less? No, he adores his daughter. She is the light of his world. But he also loves her enough not to leave her in the muddy mess that she's left herself in, or put herself in. He picks up the child because she's not ready to receive the blessing he's gotten for her. So he takes her to the nearby fountain, washes out her mouth so that she can actually enjoy the ice cream. God loves you where you are. He loves you enough not to let you stay there. So he continually is pruning our lives, challenges us in places where we're maybe mean or selfish, where our ego covers, outshines the desire God has for us to be loving. His desire is for us to have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think I got all nine. We did a sermon series a few years back on each of those attributes of the Spirit. In our book, Sacred Rhythms, Ruth Haley Barton says this one quote, and I have been pondering it for weeks. It is this: I cannot transform myself. I cannot transform myself. What I can do is create the conditions in which spiritual transformation can take place by developing and maintaining a rhythm of spiritual practices that keep me open and available to God. Much like our church leadership going to a retreat that opened us up to hearing God, we as a community, we as individuals, can put into practices, habits, actions, choices that attune our ears to God's leading. Discernment, spiritual wisdom, is a habit. It is refocusing our lives, our daily routines, to notice when God is moving. Over time, much like the practice, I've been studying Spanish, and I am horrible at it. I've been using Duolingo, and I am horrible at it. But I have started to notice improvements. I'm starting to notice there's two sounds of N's, and I can't communicate them yet, but I'm just starting to get at the place where my ears are becoming attuned to the language to notice the subtle difference between the harder N and the softer N, which changes the meaning of the word. I'm just starting to get there. I've been practicing for 3 years. It's taking me time to learn something that was completely foreign to me beforehand. In the same way, we can put actions into our lives, spiritual practices that help attune us to what God's doing. Some of the ones I've talked about with our friends who are journeying through sacred rhythms with me is listening prayer, spiritual reading practice called Lectio Divina, breath prayers, where during your day you look at what's my deepest need. Maybe it's strength. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need your strength. It's a prayer that is said between your breaths. Or Lord, be with me now. Lord, have mercy on me. Whatever your need is, or Lord, I need wisdom. I have said that one while I was talking to somebody in a counseling situation. It was in Nova Scotia, and they were desperately in need of counsel. it was suicidal thoughts, and I, out of my comfort zone, I was beyond, it was beyond my skill, and my entire thing, every time they spoke, I'm like, Lord, I need your wisdom. It wasn't out loud, it was totally in my head, but it was that practice that attuned me to what God was doing. Another practice that we've been using, I mentioned last Sunday during the announcement, and it's an examine. At the end of the day, looking at what today drew me closer to God, and when were moments that I saw God's blessing or saw God's goodness? When was I in line with what God wants for me? When were these moments moving me to God? Also, when were things moving me away from God? When did I pull away from God's will for me? When I yelled at that guy that cut me off in the drive-through or on the highway, when somebody yelled at me because they didn't think I should be wearing a mask, or because I wasn't wearing a mask, whatever those situations are that made me angry or jealous or confused in a way that made me because of my pride, or when I said a sharp word to a friend, any of the things that took us to the negative. We start looking at good as anything that draws me to God, and evil, not just sin, but things that pull me away from my growth in God. These all lead to transformation. Transformation is just maturing as a Christ follower. Much like Christ tells us he prunes us. The ability to discern the will of God is the natural byproduct of spiritual transformation. The ability to discern the will of God is the natural byproduct of spiritual transformation. As we mature in Christ, we start to hone our ear, much like my Spanish lessons. So wisdom, discerning from God, is almost like a habit that we are practicing through using our spiritual disciplines. Another way of looking at it is a way of seeing and perceiving the world and honing eyes that are spiritually aware. We become familiarized with God's voice, God's leading, God's direction. And here's my next example. Last Sunday, I was driving to church. Okay, no, Alex was driving. I was sitting in the passenger seat. I was thinking about the call to worship. And rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, came to my mind throughout the week. And in that ride to the church, it came back. And I'm like, that should be the call to worship. And then I ignored the sense. And I can't explain it. It was just that should be the call to worship. And I ignored it. And this is why I ignored it, because I was so wise. I've done that recently. We've done it before. Let's do something different. And I just went with, like, I kind of put that thought aside that that can't be what God wanted. And I just picked another verse. I think it was Psalm 91. And as soon as Thomas got up to pray, he started using phrases that are in Philippians 4, which is where that rejoice in the Lord always, I'm like, oh, well, that would have gone better with the call to worship that I should have used. And then he did his sermon. I'm like, well, that would have gone better with the call to, like, God, I can see that you were setting this up and I ignored your leading. Thankfully, I had the opportunity to read it at the end to tie it in as our closing. And what it taught me, my mishearing in that moment taught me a little bit better how the nudging of the Lord happens, what it sounded like, what it felt like, and how easy it was for me personally to ignore it. And in this case, just with the to-do list that I had, that I'm like, well, that can't be what God wants. And I just kept doing things. But I'm becoming more attuned to God through these practices, through examine, through listening prayer, through all of them. And as we become more attuned to God's presence in our day, Him being with us, we learn to notice the evidence we might not have noticed before. We also gain hints of how He is guiding us in our days. So transformation is one of the huge steps of spiritual maturity that leads us to the byproduct of wisdom and discernment. My mom this week said something that goes hand in hand with this. Discernment and wisdom are a moment-by-moment practice. God is leading us in every step of our day. Words of wisdom from Debbie Stewart. For spiritual backing to the statement that maturity comes out of, spiritual maturity leads to discernment, we can go to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 in the NIV, depending on what year it's translated, let's see how my memory verse goes. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When our minds are transformed, we are able to learn or discern what God's will is. I looked it up in a few different translations because sometimes a different group of Christians and scholars looking at the text will use different words to say the same thing, and you get a richer meaning. So here are a few. This one's from the Complete Jewish Bible. Same verse, it says, in other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of Olmah Hazah. How did I do on that one, Alex? Okay, that's probably not how it's pronounced. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what God wants and will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. Now, that phrase that I butchered, Olmah Hazah, means the everyday world in which we live, the world that has ups and downs, sickness and health, and a myriad of imperfections. So Paul is writing the Romans to say, don't live in the everyday world and the patterns of the everyday world. Let yourselves be transformed so that you will then know God, what God wants, and agree. I like the agree from this translation. One of my other favorites is a paraphrase. The Message tells us, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants for you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Develop well-informed maturity in you. And there are times that our church, I'm using capital C, Western church, looks more like Western culture than Christ. There is, I think it was Gandhi, the first time I saw this quote, I like your Jesus, I don't like your church. Jesus, I like you, I don't like your followers. We as Christ followers need to look more like Jesus and less like dogma-ridden bigots. Ian would like me to explain that word, but we're going to have that conversation after church. There are times that we, Christ followers, need to learn to live and love like Jesus, who loved the poor and the helpless and the marginalized and the forgotten, the unlovable, the sinners, the ones the religious elite excluded. And we need to be more like Jesus and less like our culture. Amen. And that comes out by spiritual transformation that leads to maturity so that we can discern what Jesus would do in the situation. The last of these that I'm going to look at is the New Living Translation, which says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. So, spiritual discernment comes out of God transforming us and changing the way we think That happens through these spiritual disciplines. It also comes from us having a foundation in three important beliefs. And I'm going to cover them, but each belief is definitely a sermon of its own. So I will go over them, but they are not, this is not exhaustive. The first of the three beliefs that we require to have this discernment, or even to start the journey of discernment, is a belief in the goodness of God. Now, as Christ followers, many of us are already going, amen, that I've got that one in the bag. Except sometimes we don't. If we've grown up in the church, we easily can say informationally, God is good. All the time, God is good. However, many of us have doubts about God. When it comes to a step out in faith, will God actually show up when I need him? Will he provide? Maybe you're someone who at some point in your life felt God leading them to something, an action, a choice, a business venture, a move of some sort, a attempt for restoration with someone, and it fell flat. It got messy, and you were devastated by the outcome. And you were doing what you sensed was God's will. It throws into question for yourself two things. Either I got the message wrong, or God is not who I thought he was. If you are doubting who God is, if your experience with God is negative, if your insight about him or experience with him has some of these negative tastes in your mouth, it could even just be the Christians in your life have let you down, and that's a reflection of your opinion of God. You are not going to be able to open yourself up and trust. And if you can't open yourself and trust, we are not in a place to discern from God. You won't be able to do it. Scripturally, I can tell you time and time again where Scripture says God is good. You need to be in a place where you trust that. The foundations for me that I go back to are verses like Romans 8, 37, and 39. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And it's remembering Christ's love for me. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For me, another way that I often, when I am doubting, I sing songs. So I might sing something like, our God is bigger, our God is greater. Or Who You Say I Am by Hillsong. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. The goodness of God and your belief in the goodness of God is necessary for discernment. The next of the core foundational beliefs for discernment is a belief that love comes first. Love is the motivator for the decisions I make. Love should be the primary focus when the church makes a choice. What is the most loving outcome here? How do we live out of love? To live and love like Jesus. 1 John 4, starting at verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So if a foundation is putting love first, what does that look like? What does love demand in this situation, whatever it might be? Last week at Lila Gilmer's funeral, in her eulogy, this story was told. And this is not the outcome I would have come to in the question that she was asked, but her and her sister, Frida, a while back, were deciding if we should get one of these newfangled contraptions all the people have so we can watch videos and entertainment. Do we buy the VHS? Yeah, it was a while ago. And these two sisters, who made their life about serving and loving people, who have actively supported so many people in this community, were sitting down going, we could get this machine, we could watch videos. I would have just bought the machine. I don't think I would have even thought about it. But they did. And one of the sisters said to the other, well, if we didn't use the money to buy a VHS machine, what could we use it for? The other one goes, well, we could send it to help children. We could send it overseas. We can show, they didn't say love, but we can show God's love this way. And so it was decided they would not get the VHS machine. They would forego their entertainment because in this situation, love required giving sacrificially. And that definitely made me pause. What in my life keeps me personally, from acting in love like Jesus would? Sometimes it's my ego. Sometimes it's my apathy. I would really much rather just go home and take a nap. Sometimes it's my pride. Sometimes it's my own, I don't like them, or jealousy, or whatever it is, pride. There are a number of reasons that keep us from putting love first. If we are to become Christ followers who discern God's true will in a situation, the law of love needs to be primary. It's a foundation, and we're going to cover that in more detail in a couple weeks. The final foundational belief that if you truly want to know what God's will is in a situation, you need to believe that God communicates to you today through the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is active and moving in our lives, and He gives us direction through our relationship with God to guide us for this moment, at this time, in this space, with the gifts and abilities that we have. Jesus told us the Holy Spirit was coming for this very reason. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things I have said to you. The Holy Spirit's going to actually teach us. The Holy Spirit even goes further in Romans. He prays on our behalf. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit Himself makes an intercession for us by groans which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to God's will. If we don't believe the Holy Spirit is active today, then there is no point to actually ask God for wisdom and direction, because God delivers it directly through the moving of the Holy Spirit. So those are the three foundations that we're going to be looking at into this time of spiritual discernment as a church body. God has told us to wait, but in that waiting, what does He want us to do? And when is the waiting over? If we trust that God gave us this letter, then there are things that He has asked us to do while we wait on Him. Calls to be prepared, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to live in a way that prepares us for what God is doing. And we are discerning that as a community, which is why we're entering this time of preaching about discernment and these three primary foundations. That ends the sermon. So if you have a question, I'm going to be pausing. Somebody, if you're online watching right now, somebody has the stream open and they will write down your question and they will bring it. It's my sister, so she's in my circle, so she can actually come up and she'll hand it to me and I will read it out. To give you some time, we're going to go into a time of prayer. And so even you who are here, If you have a question relating to something I said in the sermon, after prayer, I will just see, and we might not have time for all questions, but if we have one or two, we will get that. And any other questions we might use in future sermons. Okay. Listening prayer. We're going to use a little bit of a Lectio Divina, where I'm going to read last week's call to worship. And the first pause, as I read it, what one or two words, what phrase stands out to you? So Lord, as we start this time of reading and prayer, please guide our focus to what word, what message you are holding for us in this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Take a few moments just to ponder the word that came to you during that reading. I'm going to read the same passage again. This time, as you listen, ask God, what do you want me to do with that? Or what is this word for? Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Another question to ponder is, what in my life right now needs to hear this word? We're going to read it again. This time the question you're looking for is, what is my response to God based on what I have read or what I have encountered? Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, for us who have received a word from you, who have received maybe a challenge from you or an answer to prayer, thank you. May we rest in what you have shown us, and may us who need to have courage to share with somebody in our lives, especially if there's a challenge that we need to fulfill. May we now resolve to carry it out with us in our day and this coming week. Thank you for meeting us today, for challenging us, for speaking to us, for showing up. I thank you for the word that you just gave me even. Thank you, God. Our hearts turn from our Lectio Divina to the prayers of the people, the things that are happening, and we lift up a number of names and faces that are struggling with illness, with cancer. We thank you that Florence was able to be here this morning. We think of Sherry's mom. We think of Florence's cousin and a number of people who aren't named who are facing cancer or another debilitating terminal illness. Lord, bring comfort, bring strength, and bring wisdom and medical knowledge to the doctors for the best treatment. I lift up my friend Robin in the States, who has just received word that a close friend and a colleague, a youth pastor they know, passed away this week. And it was tragic. And I pray for that family and for that church and for the children that were invested in his life. And the other little boy. Lord, we also lift up Beirut and Lebanon as they are recovering from the explosion happening earlier this week and the trauma there. God, give us wisdom as a group of believers and the church globally on how we can be your hands and feet in this situation and many situations. Where justice needs to be brought, how do we have voices to speak out for love and the voiceless? How do we listen? Because so often we shout down and aren't paying attention to what needs are actually out there. May we be more like Jesus. And God, with thanksgiving, we say thank you for the answered prayers already. Amen. I had not planned to pray for Robin's friend, the youth pastor, and his name I do not know, but I will look it up. So what the situation in that one was is this youth group was able to go out on a lake, and they were swimming, and there was a sandbar, and the kids were fine, and then out of note, like unexpectedly, the current changed, and the sandbar disappeared, and all the kids got rushed into the water, and this youth pastor and another adult were bringing the kids to shore. And there were two kids out still in the river. And the adult's like, no, we're safe, we're on land, we can't do anything. And this youth pastor went back into the water, grabbed one kid, passed him to the man, and then he went back for the last kid, and both the youth pastor and this child passed away in the river. And I just grieve for the family. So anyway, that's who I'm praying for, and I will find his name just for the community to lift up that family, because youth pastor or not, it's just a tragic loss. Okay, so transitioning from me crying to questions, does anybody have a question? We have a question, so they're going to tell me the question. You won't be able to hear it, so I will repeat it for you. Question.
So no matter how we feel at that moment, the discernment might make us think about something that makes us uncomfortable at that time, but there's always a reason for it.
Okay.
So with that, it's like, how would you know, like, if you're uncomfortable with that situation?
Right. Or, so one of the things that we've been practicing with Examine is a term that Ignatius went with, consolation and desolation. All he meant by this, and it's a broader topic, so we might sit one-on-one sometime to talk about this, but Anything that draws us to God and gives us peace is consolation. Anything that takes us away from God is desolation. So you could be in a situation, and it might outwardly be fine, but your inner core just feels uncomfortable. So there's an upper layer of uncomfort, but there's something deeper down that's going, no, no, no. I was in a church service once, and my whole body was like, everything was fine. It was a church service. Everything's great. But there was something deeper in me going, yeah. Come to find out later that this pastor was not actually... He had sin in his life that was very major, and it was seeping into his teaching, and it wasn't apparent on the surface initially. There was a disharmony in me meeting this thing. So I should have been fine. Like, I'm like, it's a church service. It's fine. I do these all the time. But there's something deeper. I think over time, we all get attuned to that. Because I've been in situations where this makes no sense. Logically, this doesn't make sense. But there's that deeper level of peace. Now, one of the things that... Ruth Haley Barton talks about, especially when making a decision, before you announce the decision, and if you've come down to these two, choose a choice. So let's say it's a university student going, do I stay in this program, do I switch? Before you announce it to anybody, live for a week as if you've switched. Is there a deep, deep-seated, not like how am I paying tuition, but is there a peace about it, or is there a dissidence in you? Is there that sense of I'm following God or going back. And there comes a place where we bring in Christian friends, Christian counselors wise in the Lord who will go, let me pray with you. There should be a unity about that. When we did this letter, there were many times where two or three people would go off about one of the things we were working on. And I would write something down, and I'd come back, and I'm like, this has to be just in my head. This is just me making something. Like, I'm just trying to have something to share. And I don't want to share it because I'm feeling uncomfortable about this thing. And then Joe would say, well, I'm not sure about this, but Jeremiah 29:11 came to me. I'm like, really? Because I had for the plans I have for you. And somebody else would say, well, I had this part of it. And in the unity together, it was, yeah, no, this is, God didn't give all of this letter to me. He gave a piece to this person and a piece to this person, and together we worked on it. So some of it is over time, over practice, you start to get that peace, and like, I hope that's making some sense. And then the other one, when you're not sure, we go to the community. We go to the body of believers. We pray for peace and recognition in the community that more people have that same insight or a trusted friend, a trusted Christ follower. John Wesley also has this quadrilateral. He has this idea that our church tradition, scripture, reason, and our own experience helps inform decision making. So it's not one thing. God's will never contradict scripture. When it's not in scripture, like you're unsure, that's when we bring in the friend, the prayer, like it works together. Sometimes it's complex. Did we have any questions online? No, that's okay. I saw one, did I see another hand? Maybe not. Okay, one more question. Do I think religious traditions, religious spiritual disciplines from other denominations or going back in time can impede our ability to hear from God? Okay. Yes and no. So when any spiritual discipline, when any spiritual practice becomes more about that action than Christ's finding, then we've replaced God with the action. And it's now distracting us from discovering what God wants, I think. And I think there would be other people who would agree with me on that. So if a one-year plan is about me getting through it and look, I'm a good Christian because I've done this thing, this action, this scripture has stopped being about encountering God through his word and just a book club to-do list. Or I went through a period of time where reading scripture in college was very challenging because scripture was also my textbook. And I was caught up anytime I was reading, I was studying for an exam as well. And it got to this place where I had to really pull myself back. And something like that, looking at and savoring one passage like we did in the prayer time today, became a way out of that rut, that mindset. So I think any spiritual practice can be a blessing to one person and maybe a hindrance to somebody else based on their own experience, their attitude going into it. I personally find a lot of beauty and connectedness to Christ through ritual, through the Advent season, through the practice of Lent, through the symbolism of some of those things. I know there are a number of Christians that is a turnoff and will be put up a barrier. So God meets us in different things, and anything can become a distraction, or and anything can God can use to bring life back into it. I think that might, yeah. And sometimes we can learn things from new that we don't know from another tradition. It might not become a regular practice, but Lectio Divina comes from a Jesuit background, and it has been life-giving to my scripture reading at times. But if I focus so much on that, I might miss out on another type of scripture reading. Okay, announcement time. If you have a question that you come up with later, send me an email or put it on the video or whatever those, and we will get you an answer. It might even come up in one of our upcoming sermons in this series on discernment. This week, we have prayer on Tuesday at 11:30. Prayer happens after the story time with Pastor Liz, which is every weekday at 11 a.m. on my personal Facebook page. So I'm reading The Last Battle. It's the last of the Chronicles of Narnia. This is the last book in our story time with Pastor Liz series. It will be ending August 26th, just in time for the boys and girls to go back to school. And so it will be our last story time book. And that's every weekday at 11. And then Pastor Thomas is praying here at the church at 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday. Tuesday evening, Pastor Thomas will be continuing his Bible study on his personal Facebook page at 7:30 p.m. We are in the book of John, and I think we're on chapter 15, maybe 16. You'll find out on Tuesday. And then on Thursday night, I'm continuing our book study on this book. If you would like to participate, it's on my personal Facebook page at 7:30 on Thursday. You do not have to own the book or read the book. You can just show up and chat. It's much like this online service right now, and I will respond to in comments. This week, I'm really excited. It's talking about Sabbath, but the spiritual practice of pausing in the week to have solitude with Jesus, and we'll look more at what that means this coming Thursday. So those are all your announcements. Go in the grace and knowledge that God is with you, on your side, fighting for your good. He is the one who leads us into this life of love, to live in love like Jesus. May you be filled and indwelled with the Holy Spirit that makes it so, listening to him every step of the way. Amen. Have a blessed week. Goodbye, North Granville Community Church, till we see you again next Sunday.